JC2S, Part 1. Number 6B.
So let's just keep building it up slowly. We see then here, let's read the first scriptural note that has then its accentuation on the first translation, the Emmanuel, God with us. And therefore, Max has given us the little epitome about it called Interpretation from Revelation. So the first scriptural note says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul. So here we see then that whole attitude of the first scriptural note, and we know that these scriptural notes always give us the pith, the cornerstone of a chapter. Now here is that first big wing of this chapter, the first translation, the Emmanuel, God with us. Now let's look at it and take a look at it in a bit of more detail. So let's look on page 109.23. Just look at the various references. I do this to method. The most important thing of this class is to show the method of working with the chapter, not to give answers. So I want us to have fidelity to working with the epitome book so that we know in our study at home how we work with a chapter of the textbook in order to ascertain the scientific method of text interpretation. So here now, let's just do as we see here on page 109.28.31. Let's just pick up the big points here concerning the first scriptural note that Max suggests we read from the textbook. All right, 109.28.31. Jesus once said of his lessons, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." So we already hear now, don't we, that sense of Emmanuel, God with us, just as it's showing here in the first scriptural notes. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So Jesus even says the same thing about the doctrine. He says, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." You see, just what is said here. "If any man do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." All right, just a reference supporting the fact of Emmanuel, the first translation of God with us. Then 110:17-20. Now, Mrs. Eddy also showing now that whole sense of Emmanuel behind her revelation. So you see interpretation from revelation, how this revelation of the chapter comes from God. She says here, "No human pen nor tongue taught me the science contained in this book, Science and Health." So it wasn't taught to her by man. Then 117:16-28. And here under the tone of the Christ, she shows here again this sense of the Christ happening. "As a divine student, he unfolded God to man, illustrating and demonstrating life and truth in himself and by his power over the sick and the sinning. Human theories are inadequate to interpret the divine principle involved in the miracle marvels wrought by Jesus, and especially in his mighty crowning and paralleled and triumphant exit from the flesh." So here it shows that Emmanuel, God unfolded to man, and it's that is the basis then of interpretation, interpretation from revelation. Human theories are inadequate to interpret. It has to be from revelation. This is going to be her big point in the scientific method, that the scientific method is always interpretation from revelation, that her method is first, divine revelation, second, divine reasoning, and third, divine demonstration. Then 137, 16 to 25. With his usual impetuosity, Simon replied for his brethren, and his reply set forth a great fact. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the Messiah, is what thou hast declared. Christ, the Spirit of God, of truth, life, and love, which heals mentally. This assertion elicited from Jesus the benediction. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That is, love hath shown thee the way of life. So here we see then that Jesus saying to Peter, when Peter identifies the Christ, that Jesus was the Christ, that which comes from God, that he was the individual expression of that Emmanuel, God with us, then Jesus said, flesh and blood, meaning human reasoning, did not reveal this to you, that false reasoning, but that it was revealed from divine reasoning, from revelation, from interpretation, from revelation, from above. Again, the big point of this chapter, how interpretation always of our whole life experience, textbook, of the Bible, our whole life experience always must be from revelation. Always. That's that mind of Christ, as we'll see again. Again, that born, the new birth, born from divine science, where we are born from letting mind speak to the mind in us. That's why scientific obstetrics is so important, because we know that the teacher is the divine mind and the student is divine mind. And the only way that true interpretation of the Bible, of the textbook, of the model of being, of our life experience can only be from revelation. Only letting that mind which is God speak to the mind which is God in us. That mind, that all-knowing mind, which is goal causality, which already knows the end from the beginning, which is already guiding and leading our consciousness to that realm of pre-established perfection, of holistic causality, of wholeness causality, that mind knows the end from the beginning. So therefore, we have to let that mind guide and lead us to bring out that which is already a fact and already fulfilled. The human mind doesn't know our life solution and the solution to our everyday life experience. It is shut out from the realm of God. Everything remains an enigma. You see, it's only when interpretation is from the revelation of that mind of Christ, of mind with us, Emmanuel with us, that's the only way that that mind is expressed, that how she says unfathomable mind is expressed. So you see, this isn't airy-fairy. It's the only solution we can have to always wondering what's it all about Alfie, huh? It's the only solution is this mind of God. This is why I wanted that first evening for us to take that booklet on obstetrics and take it seriously. I know we do. I know some of us do. Maybe some of us don't. It's to the some of us who don't that I speak. That it's so important. We cannot fathom this subject with the human mind. It is impossible. It's reasoning, it's logic, it just refers back to the morphogenetic field of all the information that Sheldrick tells us is in there. It's all full of concepts. Some concepts are true, some concepts are false. We struggle with the false concepts and try to get a hold of the true. Field of mortal consciousness and human consciousness, we can't get the facts of being from that. It only keeps talking to us about beliefs. There's no way that we can gain insight from that field of consciousness. We can only gain insight into true interpretation, she shows here through the scriptural text and the meaning of the textbook, through the mind of God. That is not airy-fairy. You know, we keep saying, well, you know, that's not manly or that's not womanly to, you know, to appeal to the mind of God. I've got a perfectly good mind right here within this thing here. And it's got me through education at school. I've graduated from high school, college. I now have a responsible position. I make good money. After all, it certainly has gotten me this far in life. It's going to get me through everything. See, that gets us through the physical paradigm and the mental paradigm, so to speak. But when it comes to interpreting spiritual things, that mind of that morphogenetic field is shut off from the field of mind and from the field of spirit and from the field of soul and from the field of principle, life, truth, and love. And so it is only underlined with the mind of Christ, this chapter shows in this particular scriptural note is showing, that we can interpret then the revealed text in our life experience. Now, that isn't impossible, because the mind which is God is our mind. We have no other mind than the mind which is God. Actually, mortal mind is just what that mind looks like when misunderstood. When we are in beliefs, we still have the mind of God, but misunderstanding that mind. The human mind is still the mind which is God, but misunderstanding that mind. So it's always is the mind of God. It's not as if we're taking something out here and putting it into our consciousness. It's what we always have been working with, but in a very gross way, so to speak. As Paul says, we have put on dark glasses. So that mind which is God, which is our mind, is the only mind there is. And therefore, what we're appealing to is that mind which is God, that all-knowing mind, that all-intelligent mind, that intelligence we know through the compendium work means to comprehend the interrelationships of facts so as to guide all activity towards a desired goal. We know that from our compendium work. Therefore, if mind is all-intelligent, therefore mind is all-knowing. As I said, mind then, you get always the coupling in this chapter of mind and love coming out all the time, that mind is goal causality, mind is love, mind is goal causality, mind is wholeness causality, mind is oneness causality. That mind, right from the very beginning, knows the purpose, knows the plan. It's already a fact for our life, for the universe, including man. It's bringing out that goal, that plan, that design. It's bringing out wholeness causality and oneness causality, meaning it's bringing out our oneness with that plan, and it's bringing out that only that plan is going on within the holistic, cannot be divided, multidimensional realm of God. So mind knows that. Mind knows that goal. Mind knows that plan. Mind knows our oneness. Mind knows it's our place within holistic being. And only mind can guide and lead us every day towards that plan. Do you see how natural it is? So, therefore, that's the only way we can know what's going on. The only way is with the mind of Christ. So, therefore, with obstetrics, with the new birth, with going out from our divine origin of the divine mind, which is God, therefore, that mind, that's that woman consciousness, that virgin consciousness, that pure consciousness, which goes out then from the mind of God and lets that mind guide and lead us. And every event of our career is guided and lead us. That's why when we get into difficulties, we just say, we'll go back to the mind of God. Only the mind of God knows. A practitioner can only turn to the mind of God and let the mind of God reveal what is the plan behind a situation. But ideally, it's when we ourselves are our own practitioner and we appeal to the mind of God ourselves and to let it guide and lead every event of our career. So that method of obstetrics then is just getting in touch with that mind of God. By how? Detaching ourselves from all material conceptions, from preconceptions that we have to go out from the human brain or from the morphogenetic field of information. to know that there is a whole realm of information that's already there, that's pre-established, that doesn't need the educational process to discover it. It's a reservoir of information, a field of information that mind already knows. Now we're opening up the ability to tap that information. We will see when we get the principal tone that reservoir of information really is our origin. We see that in science itself. It's tremendous what we'll see. So therefore, that reservoir of information, I think what I was going to say, actually exploded and brought forth the whole structuring of the universe, really will give us the answer to what went on before the Big Bang. That there is this information, an information universe. They already talk about it today, that there's somehow an information universe, a universe that just thinks, that there's this reservoir. Well, that exists in the spiritual realm. We can tap it. And we can tap it with the mind of God. And that's then what this scriptural note is showing, that interpretation can only come through revelation, only from that standpoint of the mind of God. So we take that now as our standpoint, and then we go on to the second scriptural note, to see the effect of that standpoint, and which is the retranslation. So we see then this tone is, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leaven, Jesus. So we say, let's take a look. Kapler says, all right, this has to do with translation, which is retranslation, has that tone of the kingdom of heaven. So he says to look at page 110, 8 to 12. Yes, here it talks about that equipollence of God that is going on, which we will talk about. I'm not going to discuss it in its fullness here. I want to discuss it as we get to it at the mind-to-spirit tone, and I'll show you the point. But it's bringing out this accentuation here on the kingdom of heaven. Thus it was that I beheld, as never before, the awful unreality called evil. The equipollence of God brought to light another glorious proposition. And here's what's being brought out by this tone. Man's perfectibility and the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And we will see it through that logic of the equipollence of God when we come to that. Here it's showing then that this retranslation is bringing out, through this logic of God and the retranslation, the man's perfectibility and the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what this retranslation is bringing out, the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Then on page 122, 1 to 7, talking just more, bringing out how the retranslation is bringing out the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. 1 to 7. The evidence of physical senses often reverses the real science of being, and so create a reign of discord, assigning seeming power to sin, sickness, and death. But the great facts of life, rightly understood, defeat this triad of error, contradict the false witnesses, and reveal the kingdom of heaven, the actuality and reign of harmony on earth. So we see that a reversal is needed, which we will see in this main tone of soul, and that is the retranslation or reversal which is needed to reestablish the kingdom of heaven or the reign of harmony on earth. Then page 590, 1 to 3. Oh yes, just the definition then of the kingdom of heaven, which he says is the reign of harmony in divine science. See, so it's establishing that reign of harmony in divine science. I learned these truths in divine science. The realm of unerring, eternal, and omnipotent mind. See, our in divine science, our origin is the one mind. The atmosphere of spirit, where soul is supreme. So the reign of harmony in divine science, where we see then that our reasoning comes out from our divine origin of mind, which is spirit and soul. All right? And certainly, I love that point where she says it's the reign of mind, the atmosphere of spirit, that one valued logic of spirit in divine science, and where soul is supreme. Remember, we mentioned that soul is the hinge of the translation and retranslation, because soul is always bringing out the balance between subject and object being one, between principle and its idea being one, between God and man being one. It's always maintaining that balance of oneness between subject and object through the translation and retranslation. That's what it's bringing out, that homeostasis is being brought out through that homeoresis, of always that operation going on of the translations hinging on soul, bringing out that identity principle in the universe, including man. All right? So we see then, we just go back again to that scriptural text too, and see then that it, on 107, is that it says that this kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leaven. So it says that that kingdom of heaven, that reign of harmony, that atmosphere of the reign of mind, the atmosphere of the one valued logic of spirit, where soul is supreme, where that balance of identity is supreme, that's like a leaven. And then we say to ourselves, well, what is a leaven? What is meant by the leavening process? Then that's where we are to look on page 117, line 29 to 118, 25. It's going to now talk about this leavening process. Jesus bade his disciples beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, which he defined as human doctrines. His parable of the leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leaven impels the inference that the spiritual leaven signifies the science of Christ and its spiritual interpretation, an inference far above the merely ecclesiastical and formal applications of the illustration. Did not this parable point a moral with a prophecy, foretelling the second appearing in the flesh of the Christ's truth, hidden in sacred secrecy from the visible world? Ages pass, but the leaven of truth is ever at work. It must destroy the entire mass of error and so be eternally glorified in man's spiritual freedom. In their spiritual significance, science, theology, and medicine are means of divine thought, which include spiritual laws emanating from the invisible and infinite power in grace. The parable may import that these spiritual laws, perverted by a perverse material sense of law, are metaphysically presented as three measures of meal, that is, three modes of mortal thought. In all mortal forms of thought, dust is dignified as the natural status of men and things, and modes of material motion are honored with the name of laws. This continues until the leaven of spirit changes the whole of mortal thought as yeast changes the chemical properties of meal. Beautiful, beautiful explanation of the leavening process. Let's take a look at this now to analyze what Mrs. Eddy is saying here, giving us the positive sense of the leaven and also the negative sense of the leaven.